Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call. Let's get the slides up here. I hope you had a nice week and you're back on track from Halloween and political stuff. So, all right. So, what I want to talk about tonight, this is almost it's a little self-serving because I have a habit that I want to put back on track. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting if I could take you through this process because I do this all the time. And so we're going to talk about reinstalling your habits, right? Because reinstalling, that's really what we should be thinking about. Because I don't know, until they become absolutely rock solid, this is the process. This is what you got to have to go through. So a few quick notes. And again, you heard me say this before, but this is really the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about here. That weight mastery really is not about being perfect, right? It's about getting back on track quickly. And that's what this is all about. And if you can adopt this, you know, I say this a lot, but hopefully every time I say it, it hits you in a different way. You know, that's the goal. Because I think this all the time. There is no perfection. You know what I mean? When it comes to your health and your weight, just because, again, I mean, we're talking, it's just too much. you know what I mean? Like we had to eat every day. You're just not going to be perfect. So we don't have to be. You know, that's the beauty of it. It's not about being perfect. It's about getting back on track quickly. You know, that's the key thing. And if you really adopt this belief, what ends up happening is you don't waste the energy when you do make mistakes, right? Because that's one of the biggest things we have to avoid. We make a mistake, which isn't a big deal, but it's how we interpret it. And if we start to feel like it's the end of the world and we blew it, oh, we were doing so good, and now we screwed up again like we always do. And if we go into that conversation in our head, we're done. We have no chance of succeeding because, of course, we're always going to make mistakes, especially in the beginning. And so, again, what I want you to look at it, and that's what this lesson here is all about, is getting back on track quickly. And again, one of the ways to do that, this is kind of a sub-belief that helps you accomplish the first one there, is that we're going to make mistakes. And so it's up to us to figure out how we're going to respond to those. And so one of the ways that I would suggest you think about it is that, you know, your brain will give up pain for learning. Right. I really think the learning frame is so important with this process. So when you make mistakes, and you're going to make mistakes, if you can look at it as an opportunity to learn something, to me, that's the best thing I've seen so far. Yeah, that's the best approach I've seen because mistakes are going to happen. And if you start to install this idea that every time you make a mistake, it's an opportunity to learn something, right? That's going to be really, really helpful. And of course, it helps because we learn through contrast, right? And so if you've been doing, you know, let's just say, I don't know, habit-wise, water, right? Say you wanted it, you want to drink your water every day and you've been doing it really good for like 2-3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, a few days just, you know, things went a little wacky and you didn't drink your water. And so of course now, right, you say, oh God, you know, I dropped my water. I didn't do it. We don't want to do that. We want to say, okay, oof, I haven't drank water in 3 or 4 days, and I want to get back on track. But here's where it gets interesting. You can start to ask yourself, because you were drinking water for, say, 2 or 3 weeks in this example, and now like 2, 3, 4 days go by and you didn't, it's an opportunity to say, okay, what is different when I don't drink the water? And so you may notice, I'll tell you, this happened to me back in the summer. I went on vacation and the water wasn't very good there. And again, I was still drinking water, but I wasn't drinking as much. I was probably about half of what I normally drink. And it was an opportunity to realize, wow, you know, when I don't drink as much water, I feel hungrier. I felt a little more sluggish. My mind didn't feel quite as sharp. Psychologically, I just felt a little down on myself because I like to drink water, right? Emotionally, I just felt, you know, a little bit discouraged. Nothing bad. It was a vacation, so it wasn't a big deal. But again, there was effects of not doing that thing. So again, this is one more part of how we want to view this. When you're on track and doing well, and then you make a mistake, it really is an opportunity to say, okay, when I make this mistake, when I overeat or when I stop doing some of my healthy habits, how's it impacting me? And if you can get to yourself to draw the conclusion, well, if I don't drink water, I get headaches. If I don't, you know, get the right amount of sleep, I feel lethargic and I'm hungrier. You see what I'm saying? So we want to start recognizing what the effects on us, you know, health-wise, weight-wise are when we stop one of the habits. Okay. And that's how we learn a whole nother level to it. Another one is that you're not starting from scratch. this is a holder of the diet mentality, where again, with dieting, it's all or nothing. And again, it's just these runs. We're always thinking in runs. And so if I can, you know, just want to string together, you know, good behavior until I lose the weight. And then as soon as we fall off the wagon for a day or two or three, We feel like, oh God, now I got to start from scratch. That's just very demotivating and it's not accurate. Okay. Again, if you're only, the diet mentality is really just this willpower thing where you're going to stop eating bad and you're going to try and eat the right things. What we're talking about is a much fuller system here. So yeah, obviously we're going to influence our eating, but we're also putting a ton of our attention into those core habits so that they can support us in making the right eating. And so if you're going to focus in on habits, which I hope you are, I mean, if you're not, I don't even know why you would be here, because habits really are the core and the foundation. And so if you're going to put your energy into habits, you really are never starting from scratch. You are always, always growing. You're always growing and evolving. Okay. And so if you just started this program and you have drank water for, every day for 7 days, and then 3 days go by and you forgot and you didn't drink any water, and you start that next day, you are not starting from scratch, because now, again, with 7 days of drinking water, you've started to install a little bit. You've got your water container. You've got a strategy that's been working for you. And so you're way better off. Now it's about re-implementing the strategy. You don't have to come up with it from scratch. So don't tell yourself that. I see a lot of people doing this. Again, they're not even aware of it a lot of times, but they believe that anytime they make a mistake, they're starting from scratch. And that really affects us both ways. One is that when we're doing well, we start getting superstitious and worried that we're going to screw up and then we're going to have to start all over again. And then the other one is that once we screw up, it feels like, oh God, I got to start from, all over again. And that can prevent us from getting started. You're not starting from scratch. You are consistently building something up. And of course, you're going to have peaks and valleys and plateaus sometimes, but you want the trend line to always be improving, always getting better. And as the way I like to think about it, again, it's a different mindset, but it's very important, is that every time you get back on track, right? So you get your 7 days of water, 3 days off, and then you start up again. Hey, that's like, to me, it's that second starting up, or that thousandth starting up, depending on how many times you've done it. And with water, by the way, I have restarted my water habit literally 1,000 times without question. It has been a consistent, it still is, it's still something that's there on my mind. So every time I get started back into it, or I hit another level and then I start it again, I'm always growing and evolving, into the person I want to be. And so I want you to think about it this way. We want to remove a lot of that negativity can be wrapped around, the good things we want to do. And then when we don't do them, right, we want to remove that. So again, every time you go back to it and you restart again, you have grown and evolved to another level. That's a belief that I hope you would implement. So let's talk about analyzing, right? So my habit, and I want to give you my specific, and then again, I'm going to break it out into a general thing. You could apply this to any of your habits. But I also want to walk you through mine so that you understand two things. One, that I am constantly going through this process, right? So I've got some of the habits pretty locked down, right? So my water habit is pretty locked down. My sleep habit's pretty locked down. My nourishment, is pretty, pretty locked down. And again, but even within those, there's still some peaks and valleys, but they're pretty consistent. But the other ones, again, I'm consistently, I have streaks. I have runs where I'm doing really, really well. And then something comes up and it falls away a little bit. Okay. So I want you to understand that happens to me. And it's okay. It's a normal thing. Again, my goal is never to be perfect, because I don't think that's possible, but I'm always looking to improve. And so the habit that I'm working on, and now I realize it's actually, because I want to go through this with you, is my meditation habit, right? And so you've heard me talk about meditation, and you've heard me talk about it, how important it is and how valuable it is and how I've been doing it. And it's amazing. And yet it's fallen away a little bit. Okay. And so the first thing we want to do when we have a habit, and we realize we kind of, again, and it's funny, sometimes it fades away very quietly. And next thing you know, we're like, oh my God, I haven't been doing that. And then sometimes we realize we haven't been doing it. We're trying to get ourselves back on track and it's just not working. Okay. And so, so the first thing I suggest is that you start to notice patterns, okay, of what's going on. Cause again, a lot of this stuff's unconscious, especially if this is a relatively new habit. And what I mean, relatively new habit, I'm really talking like if you just implemented in the last year. So if you tell me you've been doing a habit for a year, I got to be honest, I still consider a year habit kind of new. So again, you don't have to agree with that, whatever. It might feel overwhelming to say, oh, I'm going to implement a habit and I can't even consider it in, because I know they say like 28 days or something. Maybe for every other person on the planet that works, but for me, 28 days, I've so many times I've implemented a habit for 28 days and then it's just disappeared. So that to me has not been some magic number. Usually when I get past the year, then I really have a chance of keeping it going for a long time. But even then, again, the meditation, what I've had a year and a half of really solid meditation, probably like 90% Monday through Friday mornings, I was meditating. Okay, so noticing patterns specifically, you know, what happened? All right, so what I started to notice happening is I stopped meditating. I stopped getting up and meditating. And then we want to know, you know, when did it happen? Again, these aren't hard questions. This doesn't take a lot of time. You can do it relatively quickly, but it's a completely different set of questions you're asking yourself and way of thinking about it, right? Because I could have woke up today and said, I haven't meditated in a while. Oh man, why? I always wanted to be, if it's so important to me, why don't I do it? What's wrong with you, Jim? You it's so important and you're not doing it. You know, you're just lazy and you just, you know, you say it's good and you don't do it. And what's wrong with you? And you're tired and you don't want to do it and you don't even care. And do you know what I mean? Like I could go down that path, right? I don't want to, you know? So again, I first want to notice the patterns. What happened? When did it happen? Now, when it started to happen for me, I realize is probably, it's been about 2 weeks now, 2-3 weeks where I haven't been meditating in the morning. In the month and a half before that, I was meditating. But then also during the summer, I had taken a break from meditating, okay? And so this is important to recognize this. So the summer, I didn't really meditate, started meditating for a year and a half. I picked it right back up. And then the last couple of weeks, I haven't really been meditating. So how did it happen? You know, what influenced it? I think this is a great question to ask because a lot of times me the last couple of weeks, I'm the same person who wants to meditate. Right, I still value it. It's still important to me. Okay, so that's not the problem. I'm not a bad person because you know what I mean. Like, this guy meditates. This version of me meditates. This one doesn't. It's really not that. I was doing it. So what I realized is the big difference for me is my sleep pattern. So if I go to bed, If I I've noticed if I go to bed relatively early. Right. So again, for me, 11 o'clock is right there. If I get to bed for 11 o'clock, I know that I can get up at 6 and I got 7, you know, solid hours of sleep. I try to get to bed before that. Right. So I usually aim to get to bed between 10 and 11. And if I do that, I know I'm going to get a solid 7 to 8 hours of sleep to be able to get up, you know, around 6:15, meditate for a half hour and go about my day. So the summer happened and all of a sudden the kids didn't have school in the morning. So I didn't have to get up as early. And so I found myself staying up later and all of a sudden I would be getting up around 8 o'clock with the kids, 8:30. Right. And so I was fine with that though. I said, that's okay. I'm going to take a break, whatever. And so what happened the last couple of weeks, I went into a mode, you know, a little bit was Halloween, a little bit was just some other stuff, you know, I went to a concert, went away, just been doing some social stuff. And next thing you know, I've been staying up later. Now, again, it wasn't, you know, Halloween was one night. I don't even know if I was up late that night, but there's a couple other nights. I don't know. I was watching scary movies and I just got into staying up later. It's that simple. And when I stayed up till 12 o'clock, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you know, because here's what's interesting. I value sleep over meditation, right? If you pit the two together in a cage match, I'm taking sleep. I find that to be more crucial to my health and everything else. Again, ideally I want both of them, but if it's going to be one or the other, I will always choose sleep. So what I realized is I was staying up later, right? And I was starting to get to bed around 12 o'clock. And so all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm going to sleep till 7. Forget the meditation. Okay. So again, I'm blowing this out, but the reason why is a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times when you're not doing the habit you want, there's something, it's not, so a lot of times we'll say, okay, well, I'm going to meditate in the morning at 6 o'clock. And then we don't do it. And we say, oh, Jim, you're just being lazy. Come on, man, just get up and do it. Right. And so we look at that exact moment. We say, oh, the problem is that I'm not getting myself to do it. And I have found that that's not actually usually the problem. The problem is almost always something that happened earlier. And so, again, the example I like to use for this is the person who struggles with afternoon eating. And again, they think the problem is they can't stop themselves from eating in the afternoon. But when you look at how they eat before that, they're not eating anything. Right? They're trying to avoid as many calories as possible. So by the time 3 o'clock comes around, they're absolutely ravenous. And now they can't control their eating. So in that situation, I would say that the problem is not that you can't stop yourself from eating in the afternoon. It's that you're not eating and nourishing your body earlier and you're getting yourself into a state of starvation, then you can't control it. Okay. So again, those are two examples that when we're identifying the problem, a lot of times it's caused earlier by some decision that we made. And so in my case, again, it wasn't that I can't get up and do meditation because I've proven that I can. What I found the key pieces is when I go to bed. And if I go to bed late, my chances of getting up to meditate go way, way down. Right. So again, when we want to recognize our habits, we don't know how it happened and what influenced it. Then we like to ask, you know, what effect has it had on you? You know, and I feel like I used the wrong effect there. Okay, so what effect has it had on you? It's and here again, as I was saying, this is where you're really teaching yourself and you're learning. So you want to notice subtle changes, okay? Because here's the secret. So I meditated for a year and a half every day. Then I took a couple months off. I noticed some changes there. It was kind of obvious to me. I was okay with them. And then the last couple of weeks, though, I started to notice some of the changes. Specifically, what I would suggest you do with whatever habit is you're looking at is the physical, mental, and emotional. And I think this is really important because sometimes we'll stop a habit, like the water one, right? Say you're drinking water for, you know, a month and then you stop for a week. Well, physically, again, you might notice some of the differences with that particular example. You might be drier and hungrier and whatever. But a lot of times just the physical ones, they're not obvious enough. Okay. Especially if it's in the short term, right? So meditation, certainly like this, if I stop meditating physically, I don't really notice a whole lot of differences, right? I notice I'm a little more tense, you know, but I notice bigger mental and emotional ones, and they're very subtle though. Okay. But that does not make them less important in my mind. And so mentally I'm a little bit more distracted. I am a little more frazzled. You know, my thinking just kind of runs together. It's a little more kind of globby, if that means anything to anyone. Emotionally, I feel a little more stressed. Also, mentally, I'm not as, my self-image isn't as high, right? Because I know when I meditate every day, that's a real source of pride for me, right? It's a real kind of feather in my cap. I'm like, wow, you know, I meditate every day. And again, it's not to prove anything to anyone else. It's just personally, when I strung a year and a half together of meditation, it was something I was proud of. I could point to that and say, look what I did. And again, that affects everything else. I get up every morning and I meditate for a half hour. And again, whether it makes a change or not, I believe it does. And so I think that belief alone helps me out. And so again, there's mental shifts that sometimes are very subtle. And then there's emotional shifts. And again, they can be subtle. But again, we want to recognize this. And then, you know, finally, we want to recognize what decisions led to this. And so again, my big decision is, I think, twofold. One, during the summer, I kind of said, you know what, I'm going to take a break from this. And I made that decision. I was okay with it. And then the last couple of weeks, though, the decision was a little different. I didn't say I was going to take a break from it. Like, clearly, I said, I want to stay up later. That was the decision I made. And by making that decision, I kind of simultaneously made the decision that I'm not going to meditate tomorrow. I didn't realize that. You know what I mean? I wasn't saying that consciously to myself. But now that I reflect on it, that's exactly what I was doing. Every time Sunday through Friday, through Thursday night, that I say I'm going to stay up late, I'm minimizing. Yeah, I'm basically saying I'm not going to meditate tomorrow either. Okay. So again, that's the analysis phase of it. And that was really, it can be really helpful. The next thing is alternatives. Okay. And so knowing what I know now, what could I have done differently? Right. And so this is me just kind of looking back and knowing what I know now, what could I have done differently is not quite the same as would I have done it differently. You know, I think I'll be honest. I had fun the last couple of weeks. You know, I was valuing fun more than I was valuing, you know, my peak health. And I say that knowing, again, I'm still eating salads every day. I'm still drinking my water. I'm still doing my routine at night. So I'm getting my sleep. So I'm still doing a lot of things. But again, it wasn't the highest level I've been at. Okay. And so I made that trade-off and I'm okay with that. So what I could have done differently looking back on it, even going to bed late, that's the question I asked myself. Even knowing what I know now, knowing I was going to go to bed late and being comfortable with that decision. I had a lot of fun the last couple weeks, and so I'm glad I did it. But I do wish that I'd meditated. And so what I could have done, where I could have gone to bed late and still meditated, is I could have shortened the length. I realized I was a little bit too stuck to the 20 or 30 minutes of meditating. And what I could have done instead is, you know, in the morning, you know, get up whatever time I get up. And then before I start work, I could have sat for 5 or 10 minutes and just quieted my mind. And I didn't do that. Time. Again, I didn't realize it, but I kind of got stuck into, because I've been doing it for 1.5 years, I've been doing it in the morning. I could have done it in the afternoon. I could have done it in the evening. There was opportunities there. And I just didn't think about them. Again, when you do this work, sometimes the solutions just seem so obvious and so blatant, you know, to people that aren't you, but we get caught in our own ways of thinking and we come blind to things that are obvious. All right. So again, I could have cut the length out of town. I could have, used the time a little bit. Another one, again, I don't like to rely on this very much, but I could have used willpower to get myself up and, you know, done it. I think that would have been one of the weakest alternatives here, but it was one. And so I thought I would just put it down. So again, willpower can be good in short-term situations, you know? And so I think on some level I knew that I was staying up a little bit later and I was kind of having more fun. And so I knew that wasn't going to last for that long. And so I could have said to myself, okay, you know, I'm going to get myself to get up anyways, you know, cause I know this is going to take that long and I'll do it. And the next one's reprogramming again, where I could have, kind of reprogrammed what I wanted to do into my mind. But again, I don't know. I don't even want to put reprogram in here. So we're going to talk about it in a second. And I wanted to stay up late. I think the length time would have been the key differences where if I could go back in time, those really would have helped me. All right. So back on track, right? So here we are, right? And so again, I thought about doing this lesson here this morning when I woke up and I was like, oh, again, another morning where I didn't meditate. And again, I was fine with it because I realized last night I made the decision I'm going to sleep. I need to get some sleep. So the formula for getting back on track here, and this is what I will do. And I've done this thousands of times, like easily for all my different habits. So this does work. It works for me anyways. It has worked for a lot of my clients. So the first one is recommit. And this one really starts with just a simple question. And so this can be something as basic as when you're feeling overwhelmed with weight loss. You know, it can feel overwhelming. And so we want to cut through all that overwhelm and just get to the clarity. And sometimes that clarity can be connected to just simply with the question, do I even want to lose weight? And again, asking it very genuinely, not sarcastically, not like, oh yeah, of course I want to lose weight. No, do I want to lose weight? Yeah. Why? Right. And so, you know, you want to ask, is your reason, you know, is it still valid? Do you still believe in it? You know? And so I asked this question, you know, do I still want to meditate? Right. And again, I'm not being overly dramatic. It's been only a couple of weeks or whatever, but I want to start with a firm foundation of awareness and truth. Yes, I do want to meditate. Okay. Why? I want to meditate because it makes me more calm. Again, I'm now bouncing off those little subtle changes I noticed. It makes me more calm. It makes me feel better about myself. It makes me feel more confident, more successful. It clears my mind a bit. It's good for my body. It relaxes my body. It helps me connect to my breathing. You know, it helps me relax my body, which I really, really value because I can feel the subtle tensions, you know, building up and I don't like it. And so the meditation, it literally turns me into a better version of myself. And so I'm telling you this stuff, but I'm programming myself while I'm doing it. You hear what I'm saying? This is what I do to myself. Cause again, it wouldn't be enough for me just to say, oh, I got to get myself to meditate tomorrow. You know, so much of this process of change is remembering the reasons why we want to do something. Okay. So don't get frustrated with yourself. You're like, geez, I've told myself this 100 times. Why do I have to keep telling myself? I don't know. Sometimes you just do. Right. I've been meditating for almost 15 years now. And so I still, no, 25 years. And so 25 years of meditation and I still have to work on it. Okay. So, and it's okay. Right. So can I tell you this so that you change your ideas of what, you know, what this whole situation is? Sometimes you just have to remind yourself. So you start, you know, do I still want to meditate? Yes, I do. Why? Boom, 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 boom. These are all the reasons. And now a squeaky chair, structural change, right? What needs to change to support it? Right. And this one's kind of simple for me. It's basically, I just need to go to bed earlier. And I know if I go to bed earlier, the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. So I'm lucky here. Now, however, if I had the water one was a more complex one to me because it was all day long and it was literally from basically waking up to going to sleep. I had to program in when I was going to drink that water. Okay. So for something a little more complicated with water, you know, I had to go through what I was going to drink the water out of. What filtration system I was going to use to get the water so it was right for me. Again, I don't have to deal with that now, but I've had to deal with that in the past and had different solutions. When am I going to drink the water by? How am I going to drink the water? Right? My daughter was making fun of me because I drink the water a certain way because it doesn't come out fast. It's a small mouth hole. And so I have to hold it a certain way so the water can flow faster, or else I can't get enough water in my body during the day. So I don't mean to get into details about this, but I want you to understand that it's literally sometimes this level of detail. Because when you figure it out, now you have a solution. You see, a lot of times we just try and we think we just need to tell ourselves to do it. No, a lot of times there's structural problems. You know what I mean? That we need to fix. Like if I kept going to bed at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning and I kept telling myself I have to meditate in the morning, I'm setting myself up for failure. For me anyways, you know what I mean? Some people might be able to do that, but I know for me, it doesn't work that well. So again, structurally, I want to change it. And so I would rather put my energy into get myself to bed before 11. And then the rest of it just kind of flows naturally. I get up and I meditate. I would rather put I don't know. I'm just throwing numbers out here, but it's easier for me to get myself to go to bed earlier, right? So it's like half the energy to get myself to do that than it is to go to bed late and force myself to get up early and then meditate. You see what I mean? So again, it's a solution oriented, it's a prevention oriented response. I want to find the simplest way, the least energy intensive way. And so again, what needs to change to support your habits? And then again, what will be the benefits? This is the programming. Right. And you want to notice, you know, physical, mental, emotional, these subtle ones that you want to boost up, and you boost them up like this. So I'll tell myself, okay, physically, and so I noticed the negative stuff because I haven't been doing it for the last couple of weeks. I'm a little more tense. My mind's a little more frazzled. I'm a little more on edge emotionally. You know what I mean? Just a little bit, not tons. But here's the secret. Because our mind doesn't really value short-term small things that much, what I like to do is I say, what would the effect be in a year? And so a lot of times I'll start with the negative. What would be if a year went by and I didn't meditate? I would be bummed. I'd be kind of depressed. I'd be more tense physically. My mind would be more scattered. My emotions would be a little more down, just because I'd be feeling worse about myself because I value meditation, you know? And so then we do the flip side. What would be the positives? And again, I know these. And so I expect another year, I'm going to go into levels I've never even been to. Because again, it's all accumulative. It's always rising and getting better. I'll be more calm. I'll be more in control of my thinking. I'll feel even more proud of myself, right? I'll have a higher self-image and self-esteem, okay? And so I expand it. So what do I need to do to make it for the year? And what would the effect of that be, you know, over time? So then finally, it's just programming it in. And remember, this is why I say you're not starting from scratch, okay? So I say think of a new habit, but really I'm talking about think of the habit that you want to reinstall. And then what I will do is I'll make a movie of the ideal version of how it'll go. And here's the thing. The movie you make, like if it would be silly for me to just say, make a movie of me waking up, going down to my meditation spot, meditating, and then being done with it. Because I know now that the real point of decision is the evening before. So for me, the movie will be, and I will do this tonight. And I've already done it. I will imagine myself this evening being in bed by 11 o'clock, getting a full seven and a half hours of sleep. And then, to be honest, after that, the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. And so then I'll just imagine myself kind of just automatically getting up, going to my spot, you know, closing my eyes. And then this is the fun part. Because I've been doing it for a couple of weeks, I get disconnected from the experience. And so when I program it in, I imagine myself sitting there. And again, I'm almost meditating now when I do it, and I'll feel myself, and literally even I'm just thinking about it now, my body has a certain posture that I hold when I'm doing it. It's a much more relaxed, calm posture, allows me to breathe fully. My mind slows down. There's just a lot of good vibes to that whole experience. And so I tap into them right now. And that's what I'm doing. I'm reminding myself how enjoyable that feels. And I do that because what could happen that would just derail me? Well, tonight at 10 o'clock or 10:30, you know, I could be watching a show and then I'll be like, the next show's there. And I'm like, oh, I want to watch another one. Right. So there's the pleasure of that show I might want to watch. And so I want to counterbalance that with the pleasure of the meditation. And that's what I just did. Even just now, I did it again. I've done this a couple times a day thinking about this lesson, but even just now I went into that and it's a real pleasure. Okay. And so again, I'm always using the truth as a foundation. The truth is that meditating is very, very pleasurable to me. The experience of it is, and then all the benefits of it. And so I just tapped into the pleasure of the actual experience. And when I do that, it now makes me realize, yeah, the show's fun for sure, but the meditation's a whole level above it in my mind. And I just validated that and verified that and reminded myself of that. Okay. And so I just made a movie of that, how it'll go and how it'll feel. And so again, you want to play that movie in your mind and associate to the feelings. Again, the physical, mental, and emotional consequences of that behavior, right? So physically, I'm more relaxed. Mentally, I think better about myself, better self-image. Emotionally, I feel more confident, more calm, prouder of myself, all things I like. And so then again, if I wanted to, I could take that through the day. And so I could bring, again, just not only the meditation. So I could imagine myself there. I could imagine myself sitting there meditating and all that feeling. And then I could imagine myself going through my day as that version of myself. And again, I think of that as the ideal version of myself. And so I see myself going through tomorrow. I know how tomorrow's going to go to a certain degree, but I see myself being that version of myself as I move through the day. And that feels nice. Okay. And then again, I could loop it into the future if I would like to, where again, I don't have to do this so much with meditation because it's pretty installed. And so this is kind of more of a reminder of it. But if this was a newer habit that was kind of new to me, I would loop it into the future. And so I would imagine myself doing it now. And in this next month, I would meditate every day. And then I would meditate the next month. And I could see myself passing through some of the milestones of the year, moving into Christmas as that calm, relaxed person, moving into the new year, you know, with that sense of clarity that meditation gives me, that sense of confidence. Moving into the new year, you know, again, I'll be snowboarding this year. I'll have a calm mind there. I can do that. So these are things that are important to me. You know, again, I want to do different things. I want to play guitar, and even that helps me relax and calm. And I move through the year, and the spring comes, and I feel good about myself. Then the summer comes, and you know, I have a fun time, and I'm the person I want to be. And then the fall comes, and I love the fall, and I'm the person I want to be. And I go right back to now, you know, 1 year from now. Okay, so I hope this helps you, because this is literally this is what I do. In a very practical way to reinstall a habit or to install one. You know what I mean? So again, it doesn't have to, it doesn't just have to be a reinstall one, but even when you want to bring a new behavior in, you know, you can use a very similar, you know, concept to this. Okay. So I hope that helped you out. I hope you enjoyed that. If you have any questions, you can write those in. Let's see. Yeah, right. Pat, that's exactly it, right? Just strive to do a little better each time. And stop spending time seeing it as a failure, right? That's so much of the game. You know, I always say this to Pat this week, that one of the reasons is that we tend to look at physical energy. We understand how that uses up energy. But you have to understand that thinking uses up the exact same energy in our body. Right? You could literally do physical exercise, or you could think yourself constantly, and you're using up energy, the exact same energy. It's glucose. Okay. And so when we get in our head and negative stuff just seems to have more impact. So when we start beating ourselves up, we really start burning through a lot of energy that we could use to support ourselves instead. Okay. And so that's a great point. So rather than lump everything together, focus on one goal and what happened with that. Yeah, I think so. Right. Cause if you try and do too much, things get blurry. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying, right. And I don't want to discourage anyone because I know we all want fast results. But if you're looking to implement a bunch of the habits all at once and it's not working for you, an alternative is to kind of focus in on one at a time. You know what I mean? Like you can focus in on all of them sort of, you know, but you can really, really focus in on one at a time to kind of lock it down and go through this process with. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Connie. Yeah, that's smart too, right? I'm really focusing on setting up the right environments to support my reasons why, you know, or your reasons and your whys. And that I love the way you're phrasing that. That's perfect. And again, I say that the water thing has been like the most intricate habit, in my opinion, to implement. And there's so many little factors to it. So I really had to set it up to support myself. So literally the water bottle I choose, when I fill it up, how I drink it, when I'm going to have it done by, you know what I mean? Like, again, I'm probably sound nuts talking about it like this, but it was so important to me and it wasn't easy. It was something I consistently had to keep coming back to, fall off the wagon with it, get back on. And so, yeah, you want to set yourself up. And so that's why this process can really help you do that. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of little subtle things that'll support you with that. And Connie, by the way, I got to respond. I was gone this weekend, but you wrote that group is the group. So I got to write something. I'll write something there tonight. I'll just respond to it and you'll see it. And so if you guys want to connect through there, you can private message each other. Yeah, Pat, I love that your thinking. Yeah, your thinking is such an antidote, right? Because short-term thinking is really one of the big challenges when it comes to weight loss, and we're constantly conditioned. And we have a cognitive bias. It's hardwired into our brain to value things that are in the short term, things that are going to happen quickly, as opposed to things that are going to happen in the long term. You know, our brain values things that are going to happen in the short term more, obviously. So that's hardwired into us. So you want to balance that out by intentionally, consistently thinking long term. You know, a year from now, year from now, year from now. I do that all the time. And it's probably one of the biggest shifts that's happened for me. It's very, very helpful. I need all the reminders I can get. It's amazing how easy it is to forget why getting in shape is to me. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Pat. And that's, you know, here's the thing though. It's like, that's fine. Because I think I was saying this the other day, but it's like, the weight loss is the funniest thing to me, because we really, I feel like the biggest disservice we do to people that want to lose weight is the way that we even frame it. And again, I can make that point by a lot of times I'll talk about, like, if you want to learn a musical instrument and you would never be like, I'm going to learn this thing in a month. I mean, like, that's not even anywhere. I'm going to learn a language. I'm going to do this intensive thing. Just learn it all in a month. No, you're not. You're just not. It's a learning process, and learning takes time. And so this is the same thing. And so if you can approach it that way, it's really helpful, you know, because if you don't approach it that way, if you don't think it's a learning process, then you think it's just something you know how to do and you should just do it. And if you don't do it, it's because you're a jerk. You know what I mean? And that's the craziest way to look at it. You know, we really are changing and growing and evolving into the person we want. So, you know, again, reminders, again, if we put it in the framework of studying, right? If I don't play guitar and I want to learn the guitar, I need reminders. I need to consistently interact and interface with the information so I can really master it, right? So again, when we put it in a different framework, that's obviously how you learn things. But weight loss, we typically don't think of as a learning process. We think of it as something we just know and just should be able to do. And I think that's the initial, it's kind of like the first sin. It just makes no sense, you know, to think of it that way. And he says, well, I have to watch the Warriors play and they start late here, so I end up falling asleep downstairs on the sofa. Life is cruel. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You're a couple time zones away from them. do you continue playing the movie after the habit has been installed? Yeah, yeah. Like I said, right? So now, again, I could do it differently, right? So it depends on... So let me be clear about this. That's a great question. If I was just installing this meditation habit, and I'll tell you, because I did... I've meditated over the years kind of off and on. And when I say off and on, I mean like a couple years on, you know, a year off or something. But there was a couple years that I wasn't really meditating. So I don't know. Let me see my son. I always measure everything for my son, because he was, it wasn't just him though. We had moved and there was a lot of different kind of life changes then. But right about that time, again, I moved into a new situation, environment, and I had a new baby. I was tired and there was a lot of stuff going on. And so I wasn't meditating for a few years there. That was probably the longest I didn't meditate since when I'd started. So when I first started to implement a meditation routine, I was much more focused in on the, okay, tomorrow. And so I would imagine myself tomorrow waking up doing it. And I was focusing on the value of it. And I was really kind of blowing it up, but I was focusing mostly on the, okay, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to meditate. You know, then I'm gonna go about my day. And then I tap into the feelings of it kind of in the short term. I would also do the year thing as well. But again, so it kind of depends. If it's a new thing, I find what's really, really helpful is to, let me explain this in a different way. Let me go with exercising, because exercising, this is a pattern that is pretty common among people. They will say to themselves, I am going to start exercising. I'm going to start exercising this week, tomorrow even. And they say that they're going to exercise, but that's all they say. Okay. And so this to me is like the opposite of programming. It's just this vague idea. Okay. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to start tomorrow. And they may even pick a workout out. I'm going to follow along with this, yoga routine. I got a video. I'm going to watch it. Now, if that's all they do, the chances of them doing that are really slim. Why? Because our mind is programmed. We pre-program ourselves all the time. And so the secret to installing a habit is to really figure out very specifically when you're going to do it. So the person who says, I am going to do that yoga routine tomorrow, I don't have a lot of faith in that. Compared to the person who says, I am going to wake up tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I'm going to do that 35-minute yoga routine. Then I'm going to take a shower. Then I'm going to get dressed for work. I'm going to go to work. Or tomorrow, I'm going to come home for lunch and I'm going to do that yoga routine. Then I'm going to take a shower, go back to work, and I'm going to do it. Or I'm going to get home from work, and before I eat dinner, I'm going to do that 35-minute yoga routine. You hear the difference here, right? You're installing it into a slot. And so that's what I think is most important when you're programming in initially, is you want to figure out exactly when you're going to do it. Let me give you programming this stuff into your mind. It's almost like you want it to feel like, what if you had, let's just stick with the workout routine for a second, the yoga routine. What if you told yourself, or you did yoga today, you actually did it. And then you know, now it's evening and you're thinking about how you did yoga today. Right. So when you think about doing that yoga, there's all sorts of little details, right? What you did before it, right? How you got ready, right? So let's just say it was the get up in the morning and do it. You know, you got up and then maybe went to the bathroom, maybe you brushed your teeth, maybe you put your yoga clothes on, then you put the videotape in there and then you watched it, you did it, then you folded up your mat, you put away, and then you went and you got some breakfast. There, all those little details are really, really crucial. Because that's how your mind operates. It operates on very subtle cues. So we're looking to replicate that in advance. And so again, when you're installing a new habit, you really want to get into a minute level of detail. You know what I mean? Of specific what time, how am I going to be thinking about it? Right? How am I going to be feeling about it? What's the behavior that leads me into doing it? Right? So you want to do that with a lot of detail initially. Once you put the detail in there, then you can kind of run through the movie a bit quicker, you know? And then once you have it in there, so say you've been doing the yoga routine for a week or two, you know, now you can start to go big picture. And you can do big picture before as well. But once you get some of the details down, now it's more about reinforcing the value of it. Okay. And reminding yourself how important it is. But initially you want to focus on the very, very minutia details. And if you do this ahead of time, it makes it easier because if you do it ahead of time, you might find, oh, you know, if I do it in the morning, I'm going to be tired. Or if I do it at lunch, there's not going to be enough time to get back in time. And it's a rush to the job. Or if I do it at night, you know, I'm just too hungry and I'm just too distracted or whatever. There might be things working against you in those spots where another placement might work better for you. And so if you do the programming, you might identify some of those things ahead of time and save yourself a little bit of, you know, struggle. So I hope that helps answer your question there. Oh, and unless you're, now I look at that question, I say to myself, once the habit's been installed, do I still think about the meditation? Which you may have been asking the whole time. no, not really. I don't really do that much. Once a routine or habit's in place for me, I usually don't think about it anymore. And that's the beauty of it, by the way, right? Really what we're looking to do is we want to be done with this stuff and move on, you know, to the next thing. So I can tell you a lot of my programming now is much more, I mean, it's always changing. So one of the last big habits I implemented was reading in the morning, you know, and that was a struggle. And so again, I had to go through this process in a lot of detail. So anyways, but once it's in there, now I have it and I've had it for years now. But now I just do it. So I don't really need to keep thinking about it. There's other things I want to change. So I put my energy into those. So I answer both your questions, Julian. I hope one of those was the answer you're looking for. Connie, look at that. I shed 10 and a half pounds finally, and I feel so much better, really getting into the feeling of being my more ideal weight. That's awesome. And Connie, that's great. It's like I always use this phrase that when you hit your goal, and actually I'll speak a little bit to what Jolene just asked, I think. When you hit a goal, when you install a habit, whatever goal it may be, and you're in that sweet spot of like, oh, I did it, you know? I like to consider like I push the record button in my body and it records the feelings, the mental, physical, and emotional feelings of being in that goal, right? Because we're setting ourselves up for the future. Because again, not to sound negative, but we always want to anticipate that at some point life goes a little bonkers. We may fall off track a little bit. Okay. So for example, when I connect back into the meditation feeling, I've done this where I'm pressing the record button of what it feels like to be in that place. So it's very easy for me to connect to that feeling. And that feeling is what's going to kind of help me, do that behavior again. Okay. So great job, Connie. Congratulations. And really, yeah, stay present with that feeling. Because if you boost that feeling up enough, what ends up happening is any of the food temptations just pale in comparison. You know what I mean? Everything's relative. And so, again, we all do this with hardcore drugs, right? Guess what? Hardcore drugs, the first few times I hear feel really good. I don't think I was questioning that. It's the long-term impact that it ruins everything and your life's better off not doing them. It's the same thing with the food. Yeah, the food's good, right? It's fun to eat that stuff, but it's not fun to struggle with your weight, your health, have, you know, issues with your self-esteem, confidence, your health, blood work, and all that stuff. That sucks. And so again, that's a negative side of it. And then the positive side, when you can really tap into how incredible it feels physically, mentally, and emotionally, you feel lighter, you look better. You feel better about yourself. Your self-esteem's boosted. Your self-image increased. Emotionally, you feel, you know, you're more proud. You're more confident, right? You feel more successful. You're happier, right? So we always want to stay connected to all that positive stuff because it pulls us, you know, along the path that we want to be on. Pat says, Jim, you've been amazingly helpful to me. Thank you for all your insights. Oh, you're welcome, Pat. Yeah, you're doing great. I love watching you do it, and I love seeing you approach it from a different angle. You know what I mean? Like that's so important for anyone. When we struggle with something for so long, we just want to assume we tend to just, because our brain likes to do the same thing, we just keep trying to do it the same exact way, beating our head against a door. And so, so often when we can kind of take a step back and look at it with fresh eyes, a lot of times that's what leads to the breakthroughs, you know, that we've been looking for. Connie says, Jim, interesting to know you struggled with drinking the water. I really did. I mean, it's been literally a 20-year thing, and I'll tell you, that is a habit. Back to Jolene's question. Yeah, it's stuck in my head. I'm trying to wonder which one she wanted, but I will say the two habits that I reflect on probably the most is the water and the going to sleep. I was I would go to bed very late for a lot of my life, like 1-2 o'clock typically. And again, the water thing, I didn't drink a lot of water growing up. And so those are two that I feel I have to stay on top of. Sometimes they can fade away a little bit, you know, if I don't pay attention to them. The water a little less. Actually, both of them at this point, I feel pretty good with them. But anyway, so I'm consistently thinking about it. So even the water, that's slowed down a little bit. And things are all related too, by the way. You know what I mean? So I will say that if you want to be completely on autopilot, what's happened for me when I'm really on autopilot with everything, I don't really have to think about it and everything's flowing. It's when I'm doing everything kind of right. Right. And so for the last couple of weeks, I've been staying up later, been eating candy. You know what I mean? Halloween's, that crap's been around. Just been eating not quite as clean as I typically do, drank a little bit more. So all that stuff, you know what I mean? It all starts going and it's a downward spiral. So again, you want to recognize this stuff and put yourself on an upward spiral. But yeah, the water has been this was not natural for me. It still is not. I still have to keep it front of mind. But it's so valuable. You know what I mean? Like it's just so, so important in so many ways. So again, when you're doing this, remember, take this away. I think this is one of the key points. You want to recognize the subtle shifts and differences physically, mentally, and emotionally. Okay. Because again, that helps you boost the value of it, physical, mental, and emotional. A lot of times we tend to just look at the physical part, right? And so sometimes with water or meditation, you won't notice the physical effects so much, right? Sometimes they're a little more subtle. So you want to get into the mental and emotional ones as well. Mental being basically what thoughts are going through your head. What are you saying about yourself? What are you believing about yourself? Then emotional, right? What are the emotional effects of that? Okay. All right, everyone. So I hope you enjoyed this. Hope this helps you out, and have a great week, and we'll talk next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone.